to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Give it to me straight.
There's a place to find all the answers. AMFM Shortwave Talk Radio. The truth is on Talk Radio.
All right, folks, hour two of the National Intel Report on this Wednesday, the 21st of March, 2007. If you're just joining us today, I've got Stephen Hyatt, the editor of A Game as Old as Empire. This is the follow-up to The Economic Hitmen and the Web of Global Corruption, and we are awash in it. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt what we're a part of. The question is how much time do we have left to inform other people as to what we've been talking about for many, many, many years. Stephen, I don't know what's on your priority or your hit list here, your own, but I see the North American Union right now as the greatest threat to this country. Would you have any disagreement with that one?
Well, you know, where do you start? There are many possibilities here. That's certainly, an important question. How are we going to relate in a productive way to Canada and to Mexico? Certainly, you know, there is a globalization in terms of the development of technology and drawing the world together. But how can we really structure that so that it benefits everybody rather than just some small elites, while respecting the actual cultural and national traditions that each country and region has? Rather than, as you say, going to some kind of, you know, one-size-fits-all, you know, homogenous world culture that I think not that too many people are really that keen on. So, you know, that's clearly something that we've got to take a very hard look at.
Well, and it's fascinating to watch the doublespeak that they do. And, you know, diversity, oh, it's a wonderful thing. Well, we are a diverse planet. We have countries that have their own languages, have their own cultures. I mean, it's an exciting world. You're able to travel and be a part of, or at least sample the flavor of these different cultures and different people and how they conduct their lives. We have more in common than we have in either disunity or whatever. We have more in common with, we're all human beings. If we smoke, you know, if we smoke different brands of cigarettes, or we talk a different language, or whatever we do, we're still human beings. And what is going on here, folks, is somebody's idea of how business and how lives will be conducted in the future. And they've been very, very closed-lipped on this. I mean, as I said earlier, we've been attacked for talking about global governance. We've been talking about the United Nations. We've been talking about Agenda 21. We're seeing these things implemented. As a matter of fact, Al Gore is in front of Congress today testifying on global warming, ladies and gentlemen. They've been building up to this that, well, everybody's bought into it. And here is the media, compliant media in this country, rubber stamping this thing with no real debates, no real other side of the coin or the other story, just compliantly going along with the argument. Old Al Gore, creator of the Internet, is right now in front of Congress giving testimony on this problem. Oh, by the way, the United Nations is going to institute a global tax because this global warming problem needs to be solved. And that's how they're going to do it. Another tax, tax us all to death. We'll be right back with Stephen Hyatt, editor of A Game as Old as Empire, right after this.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, folks, we're back. We don't necessarily have to have Mr. Hyde on for the entire 2 hours here if we're not going to take phone calls from the listeners out there. So, folks, if you have any questions or comments you'd like to make, this is the issue. Aside from corrupt people in Wall Street, corrupt people in our government, corrupt people in corporate level here in America, we have criminals all over the place. you just point in any direction, anywhere in this country, and we are rife with it. The rule of law, out the window. The Constitution, out the window. The American people, out the window. This is a very serious problem. 800-313-9443, and we'll intersperse your calls with my guest today, Stephen Hyatt, editor of A Game as Old as Empire. Stephen, you're the editor of this book. You know all of these people, the John Christiansens, all these fine folks. They've been laying it on the line. They've been spelling this out, how intricate and how effective that their plans have been for their global conquest. What do you say on the issue? And a lot of people are using the term, well, America is just an empire. It's doing the same thing. If you look at Rome, their power was that, well, they were road builders. If you look at the British Empire, the old saying that the sun never set on the British Empire, well, that was true. Well, how did they manage to become a world power? Well, a navy. They built ships. There's many different ways in which you come to that pinnacle of power in this world, but now we're talking about a concerted effort by the global elite to put everything under one umbrella, to control everything, every aspect of every country and how they do business, what laws are passed, what laws are paid attention to, what laws are cast aside because, well, it's just not conducive to global business. Stephen, it is an intricate web, and as I said in the last hour, you know, you got to admire them. They've been tenacious. They have not bowed one iota. They've continued with their plans. They have a small window of opportunity. What do you see the global elite doing next to expedite their plans to make this happen even faster than it's going on right now?
Well, you know, I think they've run up against a snag here, or rather many of them. The relatively straightforward path that we've been talking about, that they've been pushing for a number of years, multinational trade agreements, World Trade Organization, NAFTA, CAFTA, so on and so forth, they've been pushed forward, and they haven't brought the kind of prosperity to many people that they were advertised to do. At the same time, people are looking around, and we have NAFTA. It is a treaty. As a treaty, as you know, it's part of the Constitution. It has that same status in terms of our law. And that means that, for example, a Canadian corporation can strive to file suit to strike down a law passed by California's legislature, where I live, on the basis that it feels unfairly affected by that statute, which has been passed according to our Constitution in California. That complaint is taken up, not in our courts. It's taken up in a tribunal in the World Trade, in the North America Free Trade Association agreement operating body. It's taken up in a secret tribunal that is absolutely a secret tribunal. We don't know who, in fact, is hearing the case, it's argued. We don't know what kinds of conflicts of interest they have or what their viewpoint really is. We have no say in the outcome. And, in fact, various government statutes, laws have been invalidated on this basis, entirely going around the back of what we see as our constitutional democratic system. As a result of NAFTA, people are looking at that and saying, I didn't vote for that. That strikes me as, strikes people as being, if you'll forgive the phrase, completely un-American, that you would take a dispute between two parties to a secret tribunal for adjudication. That is simply something that goes against the entire grain of American political and constitutional democratic thought for the last two and more centuries. Well, but that's the kind of thing that these elites have been pushing, where the basic questions before us, how we run our economy, all the rules we set up to run our markets, and thus define how each of us in our communities earn our living, all those things are taken off the table in terms of both our legal system and our political system, so that we're ending up, discussing cultural issues, wardrobe malfunctions on television as our main thing, whereas the real decisions are being made behind our backs.
That's exactly right, and there have been people that have been insiders that complained of the fact that, well, why aren't you just up front? I mean, this is a global plan. This is going to be security and prosperity for everybody globally. Nobody is going to have any wants or needs. It is all going to be taken care of. And what's their real goal here? I talked about this yesterday on my program, that what they're after is global socialism. We can't go communist because, well, communists, quite frankly, they don't produce that much. But as long as you have socialism, as long as you have that fascism, that unholy triad, as I explained earlier, between government, big business, the corporations, and their mentors, the banksters. As long as you have those three, and they're all pushing this agenda, we are pushed out of the picture. We have no say in this whatsoever. And that seems to be the message that's going over to a lot of people. They're waking up to that fact because they see what's going on. They want to know why the problems are continuing. Why did we go from the richest country on planet Earth that was the entire envy, it was the envy of all structured countries in recorded history. And they're wondering how we went from the greatest, most powerful nation on the face of this planet to the greatest debtor nation. This has been orchestrated. This is just not happenstance or mistakes. This was a planned agenda to drive this country down to its knees, because we can't have this shining example, as we talked about in the last hour, that, well, we're not going to raise the standard of living of all people on planet Earth, that they can receive health care, that they can buy decent foods, that they can live their lives in security, under positive law that protects that individual. No, we can't have that. That's a bad example. Therefore, the United States must go down. Well, let's go to our callers here. Let's go to our first caller, Dave in Texas. Hello, Dave.
Hello, John. How are you doing? This is David, actually. First, I'd like to thank you for putting together RBN Network and your efforts. I'm not presently able to have funds to do the investments I would like, but I do appreciate your efforts for the public trading group and making that option available to those who wish it.
Yes, sir.
Generally, I would like to make a couple of quick comments and then just get at the heart of this. We need to get back to strict instructionism and strict constitutionalism. I do support Ron Paul's candidacy for president in 2008, and I hope that the effort to make his campaign have a real possibility of success does come together from the people of like mind, which I think are the growing eventual majority of the American, certainly the legal American population. I think we need to oppose illegal immigration. I do not rule out deporting illegals who don't have a right to be here, and I do support the full sovereignty of other people who do deserve and have the right to be here. We need to get back to strict constructionism. And we need to end these attempts by internationalists to try and undermine and take our sovereignty from us and rule over us when they have no business doing that, and they have no right to do that. Although we also need to pull ourselves out of countries abroad where we really don't need to be either. We need to get rid of things like, just looking from the Constitution, the Federal Reserve is not constitutional on a number of fronts, according to the Constitution. You can't raise any spending with from monies other than appropriated by the Treasury passed by Congress. Congress can't receive payment other than from the Treasury. They're receiving money from the Federal Reserve. So if more of a congressman to draw a salary, can't draw it from the Federal Reserve. You can only get it from the Treasury, and the Treasury can only issue constitutional dollars. Constitutional dollars, not to be confused with Federal Reserve notes, is basically, as I understand, is a 1 ounce, the equivalency of a 1 ounce silver coin. 325 grains of silver, which I believe melted down to a coin, comes to, I think it's 1 ounce. If I'm wrong on that, I'll stand corrected. But we could put the dollar back on the gold standard, but not through the Federal Reserve, but through the Treasury.
We have, and we've asked this question before. How do we get from paying off this debt? That I didn't ask my Congress critters or my president to get us so far in debt that there's no possible way that that we can get out of it. The Congress has left it to future generations, mortgaging their futures, mortgaging their incomes for as long as this country is around. But how do we go from this funny money system that we're indebted to these international banksters on to recouping and controlling, once again, our own currency backed by silver or gold? And my suggestion on this point, Stephen, was that, well, what's to say that we can't order the Treasury to print United States dollars or United States notes, or we can make our own funny money and retire the debt that we owe them with another funny money system. You know, there's got to be some sort of way that we can go back to that gold and silver-backed dollar. Because with that, you have no inflation. You have none of these boom and bust cycles. You don't have recessions. You don't have the dollar that is just falling into the pit. We wouldn't have that. And many people that I know, Dave, have said that the real evil behind this and most of the problems we're facing in this country right now is because of that funny money system. I'll have you follow up with a comment or a question after this. Rita, Jay, Clarence, others, hang on. We'll get to all of your calls in quick succession. with my guest today, Stephen Hyatt. He is the editor of A Game as Old as Empire. We shall be right back. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com. Your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
We are back. Dave, you have a question there or a further comment?
Yeah, I have a couple of quick further comments if I can. I was going to say, if in the event Ron Paul were able to be elected president, he would have the authority to suspend all printing of currency by the Federal Reserve and take it back under the control of the Treasury. The reason we're doing it the way we're doing now is by choice, not by necessity. And no new debt has to be incurred unto the Federal Reserve. We also can dramatically reduce, as Ron Paul calls for, a lot of the federal welfare programs and so forth, and send them back to the control of the states. We also should apportion, unlike what we're doing now, it's changed, is it the 16th Amendment on the direct income tax? We should go back to apportioning tax only through the states, not directly through the IRS, through the federal government, if we're to have income tax at all. And we could, for one thing, on Social Security, people ask about that. I have an idea about Social Security. I think every American should be entitled to take 10 to 15% of their annual earnings and put them into a long-term retirement savings account, and that will be sheltered from being taxed prior to retirement. And you can invest it in real assets how you want, and
right.
You can pull it out when you retire.
Well, you mean
you won't need Social Security. You'll have more money,
Dave,
than you get now.
Dave, you don't trust the government to take care of you in your old age?
Actually, I've never drawn any public fund. I mean, I only pay them the legal minimum tax that I owe, but I've never been on welfare or any government program or anything of any kind, and don't desire to be. If I qualify for Social Security, if it's still around when I retire, I'll take it, I guess, because I kind of don't have any choice. But I don't really yearn for government. I take care of myself. I've been doing that my entire life. I've been independent on my own as an adult for over 20-odd years, and I've never taken anything from anyone. And any average able-bodied person should do the same. There's no reason for them to rely on government. There's too many people relying on welfare because they can, not because they have to.
That's right.
And only someone who's really disabled, you could have state programs, state, not federal programs for that, deal with that. And the Constitution, only the Constitution-mandated areas of federal government should take place, and everything else should go back to the states. You'd reduce a lot of future spending. You wouldn't take on any much near future debt anyway than if we just continue what we're doing now. At least reduce the future debt.
Yeah, but Dave, we're the richest nation on the face of the earth. The argument is that we're so rich we should be able to take care of the poor and the disadvantaged and all of these things.
They should take care of themselves. Many of them can. And one thing we shouldn't do, whether we're rich or whether we just think we're rich and we're not as rich as we think we are, either one, it's not our obligation to pull the entire poor countries of the third world out of poverty. I think they should eventually do it for themselves, but they need to do it on their own. We can't bankrupt our countries just so Mexico can have a future life.
That's right.
They need to do it themselves. And I don't accept this doctrine of reconquista for two reasons. One, I don't think we owe our country or a portion of our country back to Mexico, with all due respect to Mexicans who think that way. And I'm sorry, I cannot agree with it. I'm obviously Anglo myself. I'm not racist against Hispanics. There are millions of law-abiding, patriotic Americans of Hispanic descent, and I don't propose any discrimination against them. But for illegals who are Mexican nationals who want to take our country or a portion of it away from us, that's wrong on their part to think they're entitled to that. They're not, any more than I'm not entitled to take any of their country from them. And then when they say they're going to reconquista, I kind of have a running joke about that. How can you reconquista that which you never conquisted in the first place? They didn't lose California. They never really controlled it to begin with, and they were never the majority in Texas. Not to knock legal Hispanic Texans, because I'm in here in Texas myself, but Anglos and American Indians outnumbered Hispanics even prior to the time Texas broke away from Mexico. So the idea that somehow Texas really should go back to Mexico or any other California, whatever, that's a false historical record. It was never theirs in that respect. I mean, I'm not saying knock all legal Hispanics, but as far as Mexico trying to claim it back, they didn't have it to claim. And so we don't owe it to them. And frankly, we'd be fools if we gave it to them. We don't owe it to them.
Well, they're going to be out there in the streets. They're going to be out there in the streets May 1st. They've already had demonstrations, massive demonstrations, millions of illegals in the streets. They're going to do it again on May 1st. And Dave, I'm in agreement with you. I harbor no ill will toward these people because, quite frankly, they've been suffering under the same criminality in their country as we've learned that we're suffering under in this country. And I don't blame the individual for trying to better themselves. That's not the point. There are ways, and you're correct, there are ways that the United States could help the Mexican government. If it was an honest government, that would help a lot. But there's ways that we could help the Mexican government to build their infrastructure, to put business down there, to provide for their own people. They can do it themselves, not on the backs of the American people. Dave, I thank you for your call. Let me just point out here, in Washington's farewell address, he said this: "It is important, likewise, that the habits of thinking in a free country should inspire caution in those entrusted with its administration to confine themselves within their respective constitutional spheres, avoiding in the exercise of the powers of the department to encroach upon another. The spirit of encroachment tends to consolidate the powers of all departments in one, Homeland Security, and thus to create, whatever the form of government, a real despotism. If, in the opinion of the people, the distribution or modification of the constitutional powers be in any particular wrong, let it be corrected by an amendment in the way which the Constitution designates. But let there be no change by usurpation, for though this is one instance may be the instrument of good, it is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. The precedent must always greatly overbalance the permanent evil, any partial or transient benefit which the use can yield at any one time." George Washington, not a dumb guy, there at the inception of this country. Great guy. Great country, folks. Good people here. They're losing control of their own destinies. We'll take the break here. We'll roll more of your calls with my guest today, Stephen Hyatt, right after this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625. Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Yeah, an old George here dealing with the issues of foreign policy. What's that? Observe good faith and justice toward all nations. Cultivate peace and harmony with all. Religion and morality enjoin this conduct. And can it be that good policy does not equally enjoin it? It will be worthy of a free, enlightened, at no distant period, a great nation to give mankind the magnanimous and too novel example of people always guided by an exalted justice and benevolence. We don't have that anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go back to the phones. Rita in Colorado. Thanks for holding, Rita.
Oh, hi, John. Hi, Stephen.
Hi.
I think I probably have a question or at least a comment you can reply to. I worked in Apple like you did, and company that shared offices with Stanford Technology. I guess you were with SRI.
That's right.
The thing I noticed, you know, working in Silicon Valley works, it's really competitive atmosphere. Is it kind of starts to amplify the pathology of the system. And so you see people are kind of forced into this social naivete, And that is kind of used by the people that, you know, because people aren't just robots, you know, there's this other culture that's going to be underneath that will take advantage of people. I noticed here on RBN now, we've got some hosts that are talking about that. We've got a new one, Jack Otto, and I think also Ralph
Winterroad
is really getting into the pathology of the system, which is really something that we haven't been able to get to because it doesn't sell books.
I understand. I understand.
And so I think that's what we've got to get. We've got people that are kind of forced into this 14th Amendment definition of racism, and it attacks our rights of association and our religion. And when that happens, you know, people are kind of stuck into this unnatural situation. So do you think you can get? I mean, I think you're still in California, aren't you, Stephen?
I am. That's right.
Yeah. So I know how it is. I mean, I I'm thinking of taking a trip, and I just think I might just keep going, you know, because I'm going to take. I mean, I've been there. I've done my whole Bay Area trip. I did. I met the people. I even had a concerned citizens group there, but it's like. People are leaving California, you know, for that reason. You know what I mean?
Well, it's a difficult place to live in many ways because, as you mentioned, you've got Silicon Valley and similar places around the state. You've got this hyper-competitive, very fast-paced culture focused on, turning technological developments into money just as fast as possible without any regard for, anything else. We're just talking about kind of the lack of any values other than how much money can you make, how fast. So you get this kind of focus on take on debt. What does it matter? Because the market will keep going up. The housing market will keep going up. You'll always make money. It sucks people into this kind of worldview that you're in this rat race. You're going up. You're borrowing money. You're getting into debt. And of course, for a lot of people, it doesn't work out. For a few people, it does. You know, they're doing well. I don't know if they're happier, but you know, they're prosperous. But for many other people, you can look at it as a pyramid where, you know, as you go, the higher you go, the fewer people there logically must be, and most of us are not going to be at the top.
And there's only so much room at the top, Stephen.
Yeah.
There's not a
whole lot. Not the era of, say, the Homestead Act and the settling of the West, for example, where you had, America is the best poor man's country, as I believe Jefferson called it. Where there are opportunities for everybody to work, apply themselves. Today we have opportunities, certainly fabulous opportunities, for a very small group. We have to be frank about that. And for many of the rest of us, it's very tough. You have, I live in San Francisco. I come from Iowa, so a very different place, right? I grew up in rural Iowa. I describe this place to my family and friends back home, and I say, this is the land of the $1,500 a month studio apartment. Where back home $1,500 would pay the mortgage on a very nice house indeed in Des Moines. So a hyper competitive society out here, in many ways quite difficult to live in for many people. And as you say, so people are reacting to that by moving away because of the overcrowding and so forth, the lack of investment. Again, we have kind of the same writ small, if you will, that we've been talking about, the same thing where you have elites who are withdrawing from the society in favor of amassing their own power and their own wealth and not contributing or giving back to the society of which they're a part and which allows them the opportunity to amass this wealth. So we have a lack of investment to that should correspond to the growth of the economy and the growth of the population. So it makes it harder and harder for people to get along.
Yeah, and Stephen, a prime example of the benevolence of, say, a corporation, a company. It used to be that they needed their people because these are the actual people that rolled up their sleeves and produced. It was a self-feeding machine. As long as the company took care of the worker would take care of the company as far as their profits, whatever widget they were building, whatever service they were offering. But that's not the case anymore. As I stated earlier, there is no, absolutely none, to the workers of any corporation in this country. There's no allegiance anymore. They don't care about that worker. That's been demonstrated over and over and over again. And coming back to what I was saying before, that, you know, money is not the root of that evil. It is the love of that money and the disregard for the people that are working to make you that wealth. By the way, I wanted to, and thank you for your call, Rita. I appreciate it very much. I wanted to bring this up to you. This was out just a couple of days ago, that Iran's oil minister, Khamenei, said that the Islamic Republic will sell its oil in all currencies. Our oil sales would be in every currency. Dow Jones reported that Khamenei, as saying on the sidelines of an OPEC meeting in Vienna on last Thursday, Iran has already said it will carry out all of its oil industry-related equipment purchases in euros instead of dollars, and previously said it has informed its oil buyers that they should pay Iran in euros for the crude oil they purchase. We need oil currencies, the guy said. Earlier on Wednesday, the media reported that Iran has started talks with a Japanese refiner to receive the payments in euros or yens instead of that U.S. dollar. Now, this appears to be a new tactic to dodge recent U.S. economic pressures against the Islamic Republic, as Washington has been pressing overseas banks to stop dollar transactions with the Iranian banks. Now, Japan is a major importer of Iranian crude and reportedly buys only 486,000 barrels of oil per day out of Iran's production of about 3.8 million barrels per day. This is one of the reasons we've got to go in and straighten out Iran. It doesn't have anything to do with them building a few nuclear weapons. And I've always argued this, Stephen, to keep the advantage to any one country or nation over there for its literal survival. Well, we're telling the entire Islamic empire that, well, you've got to disarm. You can't be a threat in the Middle East. We've built up this boogeyman. While we have our friends, our Israeli friends over there, with over 400 tactical nuclear weapons, with every imaginable delivery device, air-to-air, ground-to-air, submarines, it doesn't matter. But the Iranians are being told that, no, you can't do this. The real reason, ladies and gentlemen, that we're going to have to go after Iran is because they don't want to play in dollars no more.
Well, it's not, you know, it's surprising from a number of points of view. We were talking about China a while ago. You know, the Chinese now have foreign exchange reserves of over $1 trillion, far more than we do. When we were growing up, I'm sure, you know, that was very different. You know, the United States had the reserve currency. It had the largest exchange reserves. It was the key player in the world economy. And what we've seen over the last generation, or a little bit more, is the hollowing out of the U.S. economy. And again, the abstraction of our elites, running multinationals, banks, and other institutions, so that they're not really that dependent on a connection to the American nation anymore. They're moving up the ladder, if you will. They leave that hollowed-out structure behind them. They use it, they talk about it, they extol it verbally, but in reality, they're moving on, as you say, to international structures that they control out of sight, out of mind. One of the things we can do, we've been talking about the offshore banking system and how it's been working, how it helps these people evade their fair taxes and their contribution to our economy, is that we can actually work and unite with other people to bring that offshore banking system under control, so that it's no longer a haven for drug lords like the Medellin cartel or the gangster capitalists in Russia or the organized crime or people stealing funds from countries in the third world. we can bring that under control and restore at least some measure of rationality to the world economy and some measure of responsibility.
Let's go back to the phones. Jay in New Jersey. Hello, Jay.
Hello.
Hi.
No, I agree with your guest, except to say we're not going to do that. You know, we're not bringing anything under control. Well, not we, but the collective we. I mean, we are part of the murderers in Iraq and Iran and wherever. I mean, that really is us. But the people that, you know, pull the strings, they're quite happy with what they've got, and they're not changing anything.
Well, I agree with you on that. And, of course, they've allowed the system to grow, metastasize, if you will, to the size it is now, because it's very useful for them. We look at the Bank of Credit and Commerce International in our book, which was a offshore bank. It was headquartered in Luxembourg. Offshore is a term of art, really. You can be an offshore bank. Switzerland, Luxembourg, also offshore banking havens, not just islands, but by term of art, offshore. It was funneling money, hiding money from the Medellin cartel. It was funneling money for Al-Qaeda. It was also working for the CIA. It was in bed with both the Bush family and with Jimmy Carter and Burt Lance down in Georgia. They were working with the UK government. They had a finger in maybe not every pie in the world, but a good many of them. Again, it was offshore secrecy that allowed this to happen. One of our authors, John Christensen, the guy who was an offshore banker, is now the head of a group called the Tax Justice Network, which is an international group. There are chapters in the U.S. and around the world that are looking at ways to bring the system under control. It's certainly not going to be brought under control by the Federal Reserve or by initiative from, say, Bank of America or Citicorp or HSBC, and their friends in Congress are not going to push this. It's going to be done. It's going to be demanded by people around the world who see the central role in the web of corruption that exploits them, you know, day in and day out.
If you look at something just like Enron, just as an example, the film Enron, smartest guys in the room. I mean, that's criminal. 50 people should have been arrested. You know, nobody really was, and actually, they got to keep the money. So
they kept most of it. We have a great example of how this works. We have the dictator Sani Abacha in Nigeria, and he this is in the late 1990s. He had a standing order with the Central Bank of Nigeria to funnel wire transfer into his private Swiss offshore bank account $15 million every single day, every day. So you would think, okay, this guy ended up stealing several billion dollars, right? You know, very corrupt guy, very evil, right? Stealing this money was not used for the to develop Nigeria, not used to expand education, bring drinking water to towns, you know, clean up environmental problems, whatever he might be. It was stolen. Who knows what he had in mind for it, but he could not keep his hands off it. That's clear. But the reverse of that is you look at the Swiss banks to which this money went. Were they thinking, oh, how generous the Nigerian people must be in paying their president all this money? Now, they knew it was stolen, but they had no problem receiving that money. Eventually, he happened to drop dead of a heart attack. The people who succeeded him tried to get the money back. They were able to find some of it. I doubt if they found, you know, all of it, perhaps not even half of it. They did get some money back. They didn't get back the fees. The Swiss banks got very fat fees for handling these accounts. They didn't get the interest back that had been paid. So the Nigerian people again were you know, hoodwinked out of, you know, billions of dollars. Not one Swiss banker was ever charged even in this scam, which
not
ended
going
up, you
back
know,
to the bank
not a single one.
if you go back to the Bank of International Settlements, they were never charged then. They never will be charged. You know? We're just not going to do it.
Or the criminals behind the theft through the BC CI scandal. I mean, what happened with that?
Low-level people went to jail. A few people were charged. One guy lost a position in Saudi Arabia, but he managed to swing on to to reconstitute a lot of the BCCI network through a new offshore bank, which has since been involved in similar scandals. It's also implicated in funneling money to radical Islamist groups in the Middle East, including Al-Qaeda. So these people tend to stick around, as our caller points out.
All right.
If I could make a final point, for a couple of days I've been hearing you know, ask questions about what does this country need more than anything else. It's basically sovereignty. People have to get off their butt and realize that, you know, we need to do something. That includes politicians, a universal awakening, which again isn't going to happen.
Well, it's going to happen if the American people take this seriously and consider their fellow Americans as much as in peril as they perceive themselves to be. As I said before, it's boots on the ground, people marching forward with the information to wake other people up. This can be turned around. It can be changed, but it's up to the American people to do it. Thanks for your call, Jay. We'll be right back. Short segment coming up. Robert, hang on. We'll take your call right after this.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Thank you.
Tell you what, if we're quick here, I'll try to roll in two calls here. Robert in Arizona. Thanks for holding, Robert.
John, hello.
Hi.
To your guest, all these problems that we face as a nation, I just keep coming back to the central point within me that says that anything I need, I can get within the confines of my county. So why in the world isn't our government, 98% of it, within the confines of our county, and maybe 1 or 2% of it at the state and federal level? If we went back to this kind of a system, we would have control.
That's right. That's the way it was originally set up. That's why we have counties in every state.
This is why the illegals keep coming across the borders, because there's this wide-open machine that's throwing money at everyone everywhere. You can go to a hospital and get help, get treatment, whatever, and somebody else is going to pay for it.
That's right.
There are no controls anymore.
Well, and where are the people that are respective states, Robert, that are pressing their own state governments that, look, the Fed's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's up to us. If they're not doing it, it's our obligation and duty to do it.
Well, I see two possible solutions. We return back to basics, where we bring everything down to the township and the county level, and we maybe have those entities send a limited amount of money to the state, and the state sends a limited amount of money controlled by the legislature to the federal government, and then we establish control. And as far as the mess goes that we're in, I think we need to go to a universal across-the-board debt forgiveness, just wipe everything off the books and start over tomorrow morning.
All right.
I think the mess is so horrible, there's no other answer.
Robert, I appreciate your input. Thank you. Evan in Arizona. Hang on 1 second, Evan. The book, A Game as Old as Empire, how do they get a copy, Stephen?
They can find it at their local bookstore. It's available online at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. If your local bookstore doesn't have it yet, you can ask them to order it.
All right. And I would suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that's an important read. That should be in your library and share it with your friends. Robert in Arizona, he's gone. Okay, Yvonne in Arizona. Hello, Yvonne.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a comment regarding printing our money. I read an article. I don't remember who wrote it, but his contention was that we just ignore the debt. We do not owe the debt because the debt was created not by Congress. I mean, the printing of the money was not authorized by Congress. Therefore, it's an illegal act. Consequently, we don't owe it. So we just throw it back right to the corporations, to the international bankers who set it up. And maybe you or your guests might have some thoughts on that.
We're running out of time here, Stephen.
Well, I can briefly comment, because we deal with debt issues a lot in our book. Many third world countries are drowning in debt, so we're looking at that aspect of it as well. One of the things that kind of maybe resonates is with the doctrine of dubious debt or odious debt. It's a legal doctrine, goes back to the 19th century, and basically says if you have somebody who's head of a company or a country and who contracts fraudulently with a bank to borrow money and steals it, that the people who nominally are responsible for that debt don't owe it. It was fraudulently contracted, and they need not pay it. If the bank wants to get its money back, it needs to go to the person who contracted the debt and not to the company or the country.
Or the third party. Yvonne, thanks for your
right.
call. Stephen Hyatt, thank you. Editor
you're
of
welcome.
A Game as Old as Empire, The Secret World of Economic Hitmen and the Web of Global Corruption. Educate yourself, folks, so you can educate other people. We need the information fast and furious. They're getting ready to close the proverbial loopholes. Well, that loophole is going to be our noose around our necks. Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Alrighty, sir. Folks, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. See you then.